بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم رب النور العظيم ورب الكرسي الرفيع ورب البحر المسجور ومنزل التوراة والإنجيل والزبور ورب الظل والحرور ومنزل القرآن العظيم ورب الملائكة المقربين والأنبياء والمرسلين. اللهم إني أسألك بوجهك الكريم وبنور وجهك المنير وملكك القديم يا حي يا قيوم أسألك باسمك الذي أشرقت به السماوات والأرضون، وباسمك الذي يصلح به الأولون والآخرون، يا حيان قبل كل حي، ويا حيان بعد كل حي، ويا حيان حين لا حي، يا محيي الموتى ومميت الأحياء، يا حي لا إله إلا أنت. اللهم بلغ مولانا الإمام الهادي المهدي القائم بأمرك صلوات الله عليه وعلى آبائه الطاهرين عن جميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات مشارق الأرض ومغاربها، سهلها وجبلها وبرها وبحرها، وعني وعن والدي من الصلوات زنة عرش الله ومداد كلماتي وما أحصاه علمه وأحاط به كتابه. اللهم إني أجدد له في صبيحة يومي هذا وما عشت من أيامي عهدا وعقدا وبيعة له في عنقي لا أحول عنها ولا أزول أبدا. اللهم اجعلني من أنصاره وأعوانه والذابين عنه والمسارعين إليه في قضاء حوائجه والممتثلين لأوامره والمحامين عنه والسابقين إلى إرادته والمستشهدين بين يدي. اللهم إن حال بيني وبينه الموت الذي جعلته على عبادك حتما مقضيا فأخرجني من قبري مؤتزرا كفني شاهرا سيفي مجردا قناتي ملبيا دعوة الداعي في الحاضر والبادي. اللهم أرني الطلعة الرشيدة والغرة الحميدة واكحل ناظري بنظرة مني إلي وعجل فرجا وسهل مخرجا وأوسع منهجا واسلك بي محجة وأنفذ أمرا واشدد أزرا واعمر اللهم به بلادك وأحيي به عبادك، فإنك قلت وقولك الحق ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس، فأظهر اللهم لنا ولياك وابن بنت نبيك المسمى باسم رسولك حتى لا يظفر بشيء من الباطل إلا مزقا ويحق الحق ويحققا، واجعله اللهم مفزعا لمظلوم عبادك وناصرا لمن لا يجد له ناصرا غيرك ومجددا لما عطل من أحكام كتابك ومشيدا لما ورد من أعلام دينك وسنن نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله، واجعله اللهم ممن حصنته من بأس المعتدين اللهم وسر نبيك محمدا صلى الله عليه وآله برؤيته ومن تبعه على دعوته، وارحم استكانتنا بعده. اللهم اكشف هذه الغمة عن هذه الأمة بحضوره، وعجل لنا ظهورا، إنهم يرونه بعيدا ونراه قريبا، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. العجل العجل يا مولاي يا صاحب الزمان، العجل العجل يا مولاي يا صاحب الزمان، العجل العجل يا مولاي يا صاحب الزمان. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه، وأعوذ به من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع ذنوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا، أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما سيدي ومولاي بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Before I start today, I would just like to make a few announcements, and also just to ensure that I don't forget towards the end, wanted to thank all the respected scholars, the ulama, the brothers and sisters, the organizations who have collaborated with this effort. May Allah inshallah bless you all with the best of his blessings during these months. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inshallah accept this effort from all of us, and inshallah bless us with the tawfiq to be able to do things the right way, inshallah pursue that path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's one. Secondly, we will inshallah tonight have a short Q&A session at the end of the talk today. So if you have any further questions, please feel free to email them. There should be an email address on your screen at some point. So you can email your questions over there, and inshallah, we'll try to answer as many as possible within the allotted time that we have. Thirdly, what the brothers have decided is that inshallah, we would like to continue these sessions after the session, but not in this format. It will be in more of a private setting for those people who are interested in continuing to have a further and deeper look into these munajat, but that will be for after the holy month, inshallah. Will probably be a weekly session. But anyone who's interested, it's probably going to be limited spots, so anyone who is interested, also please email for further details on the email address that is given, which is themishkatacademy@gmail.com. It should come up on your screen at some point, inshallah. I'll skip the summary that we usually start off with for the previous session, just to ensure we can try to get the most out of this session today. Inshallah, we'll continue with the same sort of way that we've been making progress with the munajat. However, because we haven't been through maybe even not even a quarter of the munajat so far, what I would like to do today is talk about at least one of the excerpts today in a little more detail. And then after that, I would just like to highlight different lines from the Munajat, which I think will kind of give a glimpse into the depth of the Munajat, give a glimpse into the sort of overall mindset of Amir al-Mu'mineen, of all the Imams who have recited, who have known to have recited this Munajat during their times. So inshallah, that would allow us to have a more overall picture of it. But inshallah, if God gives us the tawfiq, we will discuss it in more detail in the future, inshallah. So where we've reached in the Munajat right now is, Ilahi, a'udhu bika min ghadabik wa hululi sakhatik. O Allah, I seek refuge with you from your anger and your anger coming down on me. So this is basically what we understand from this, is that this is a person who has come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's accepting the shortcomings and is also accepting, like we talked previously, that the mindset of this individual is that I've come to you with my shortcomings. I've come to you as someone who might have transgressed some of your boundaries, might have transgressed some of the red lines that you've set for me. I might have drifted away from you, and now I've come to you, and I know that because of those actions, I deserve your anger, and I deserve perhaps your punishment. And I've come to you, O Allah, seeking help and seeking refuge in you, because I have nowhere else to go. So again, the Munajat keeps going back to that concept of Tawheed, that He is the only one. Sometimes when we talk about the concept of Tawheed, it's the discussions are limited to the Tawheed, or the oneness in existence, in His existence, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He is the only Allah, or there is no other God like Him, or there is no other being that can be sharik with Him or can be a partner with Him. So that's in His existence that there's Tawheed. But in fact, in reality, Tawheed is a much wider concept than that. It roots from there, yes. But then there's Tawheed in His Lordship, that He is the only one who manages the affairs of this world. There's Tawheed in Uluhiyya, that He is the only one who's worthy of worshipping. There's Tawheed in Khaliqiyya, that He's the only one who creates. And as we talked previously, that even the created actions of ours can in some way, shape or form be attributed back to Him. We've already talked about the details, so I'm not going to get into that. But there's Tawheed in Raziqiyya, that He is the only one who can provide me with the sustenance. Understanding this is essential for a mu'min to be able to understand these munajat, for a mu'min to be able to set that mindset of theirs in their life, where no matter what point they reach in their life, they always know that there is help, but only from one hope, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, as we've already talked about, that there are asbab, there are means through which Allah works. And those are means that we can't completely ignore. But at the end of the day, our hope and our reliance and our tawakkul and our belief and everything goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. So this is a person who's come, Ilahi, a'udhu bika min ghadabik. Oh Allah, I seek refuge with you from your own anger, because I have nowhere else to go. Although it is you who is angry with me, but I have no other place to go. That's why I come and seek refuge with you, O Allah. I have drifted away from you. And because of me drifting away from you, because of my soul drifting away from you, because of me lowering myself and my level and my soul, I don't have that ability to be able to accept your mercy anymore, O Allah. Not only do I not have that ability to accept your mercy because I've drifted away from you, but now I've created that ability within myself to be able to take that anger of yours, that I've become deserving of that anger of yours. So coming there, admitting that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have drifted away from you because of my shortcoming. And because of my shortcoming, and because of the reality of every shortcoming of ours, in reality, taking us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is not the case, and we talked about this one of the previous sessions, that it's not the case that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy, He's smiling at you, and as soon as you sin, He becomes angry and He frowns at you. No, there is no changes in the ahwal of Allah, in the states of Allah. He's the most perfect being. But in reality, what happens is we, with our good actions, with our ibadat, the reality of our soul gets closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, because of that reality coming into existence, do we become worthy, or do we create that ability within ourselves to be able to accept His mercy? And the opposite works the same. That if I transgress, if I sin, I keep in reality moving away from Him, and where I reach a point where I don't have that ability to be able to accept His mercy. Rather, I create that ability within myself to be able to be, to deserve His anger, and to be able to be someone who's deserving of that. Surah Taha, chapter 20, verse 81. كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ وَلَا تَتْغَوْ فِيهِ. Eat from the mercies and the good things that we've blessed you, but wala tatghaw, but do not overstep the bounds. Do not overstep the bounds in that or anything else. فَيَحِلَّ عَلَيْكُمْ غَضَبِي. Because if you do, if you overstep the bounds, then فَيَحِلَّ عَلَيْكُمْ غَضَبِي, that my wrath and my anger shall descend upon you. وَمَنْ يَحْلِلْ عَلَيْهِ غَضَبِي فَقَدْ هَوَى. And whoever whom my ghadab or my anger descends upon, they won't be worth anything anymore. They will perish as if they weren't there. So understanding and explicitly stated in the verse of the Quran that it's my transgressions, it's my shortcomings that make me deserving of Allah's anger, that make me deserving of His wrath. But also along with that, understanding that I have nowhere else to go. So I seek refuge with Him from His anger, because I have nowhere else to go. When we talk about the ghadab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards an abd, towards a slave of His, one of the levels is the level that we just talked about. It's a level that everyone understands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained some commandments. He's given us a set of rules. Anyone who breaks those rules, anyone who transgresses those red lines, deserves Allah's punishment. However, there's another type of anger of Allah. There's another type of anger of Allah, which is for the people who've reached the highest of the levels, and that is something that the highest of these people, it's not because they have transgressed or sinned against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they become deserving of this, but it's because even the least bit of focus that they take this focus away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads them to this difficulty or anger, in a way, if you will, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just to be able to wake them up from this negligence, this temporary negligence that they might have had, and trying to reel them back in. So they face a difficulty and it reels them back in. Even the slightest of diversion, from the complete focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we see in Surah Anbiya, which is chapter 21, verses 87 and 88. And any of you who are used to praying that Salatul Ghufila between Maghrib and Isha, these are the verses that we recite in there. وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّا أَن لَن نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ. Right? So it's talking about Hazrat who? Nabi Yunus alayhi ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam. It's talking about Nabi Yunus. And it's saying that when he ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا, he turned away from his people in a state of rejecting them, in a state of ghadab, in a state of anger. فَذَنَّا أَنَّا نَقْدَرَ عَلَيْهِ. And he thought that we wouldn't test him with hardship. We wouldn't make it a little more difficult for him. We wouldn't squeeze things a little bit more. فَذَنَّا أَنَّا نَقْدَرَ عَلَيْهِ. That we wouldn't do that to him. فَنَادَ فِي الظُّلَمَاتِ أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتِ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And then the verse skips some of the steps. After that, the verse says, and therefore he cried out in the darkness as he was in the belly, in the deep ocean, during the night. فَنَادَ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. And then he calls out in that darkness, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ, that there is no Allah but you. سُبْحَانَكَ, glory be to you, O Allah. سُبْحَانَكَ, إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. I'm the one who transgressed. I'm the one who took my attention off of you. I'm the one who made a mistake. I'm the one who walked away from the people. You didn't tell me to do that. I'm the one who did that. So over here, understanding that that even a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the slightest bit of diversion of attention away from Allah, could be faced with this sort of a difficulty. When in another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if he wouldn't have called out to us, La ilaha illa ant, O Allah, there is no Lord except you. My complete focus is on you. Subhanaka inni kuntu min al-dhalimin. Glory be to you. It's me. It's I who transgressed. In the other place of the Quran, it says that if he would have never done that, he would have stayed there till the end of time. Till the end of time. Similarly, we see that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, he's narrated to have during his salatul layl, in the middle of the night, he would cry in sajda to his Lord, Ilahi, la takilni ila nafsi tarfata aynin abada. O Allah, don't leave me to myself, even for the time of a blink of an eye. La takilni ila nafsi, don't leave me by myself, O Allah. Don't move that mercy of yours from me. And the people asked the Holy Prophet, Ya, O Holy Prophet, with all your ibadat, with everything that you do, why are you talking like this? Why are you talking about Allah turning away from you, or Allah taking His mercy away from you, or Allah leaving you by yourself even for a moment? And the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that my Lord took away his attention from Yunus, Nabi Yunus, just for a moment. And look at what he had to face. Look at the difficulty that he had to face. That's why I beg my Lord. I beg my Lord. La takilni ila nafsi tarfata aynin abada. So look at how our Prophet is talking to our Lord. Look at how our Prophet is talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where he's saying that not even for a moment, O Allah, take your eyes off of me. Not even for a moment. And then I, the lover of this Holy Prophet, the follower of this Holy Prophet, who claims to be his follower, who claims to be the follower of his family, how much attention do I pay to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How often do I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The same Holy Prophet who's the best of the creations says that that my heart gets somewhat dusty or during the day, or it gets covered up a little bit. That's why I do istighfar 70 times a day to ensure that my heart stays clean and pure. The best of the creations, repeating istighfar 70 times a day. But the follower of that, the best of the creations, who has so many shortcomings, who's transgressed the boundaries so many times, not approaching Allah the way our role models approach Allah. During this month, during the next month, the months of istighfar, not even during this month and these months am I benefiting from those recommendations like I should. These munajat should be, as they say, these should be du'as that are not just recited by us and our families and our communities, but du'as are meant to be read, not just, du'as are meant to be, made. You make a du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't just read the du'as. And especially the case for the munajat, where this is a much more intimate sort of conversation between the abd, the slave, and the master, the mawla. So every time we look through these munajat, these things should be there in the back of our head, that this is not just for me to recite these, but for me to understand these, for me to digest these, for me to feel these du'as, these munajat. I feel as if I'm standing in front of my Lord with this mindset. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with the tawfiq to be able to understand these if we keep making progress towards Him. Inshallah. Similarly, as Amirul Mu'mineen several times repeats in different words in the dua Kumail, that we read so often. In different places he talks about this sort of a ghadab or this sort of a difficulty for those people who are at the highest of the levels, or any sort of diversion of attention or any sort of separation from their beloved is as if it's a punishment for them, and it's more difficult for them than anything else. Ya ilahi wa sayyidi وَمَوْلَاي وَرَبِّي صَبَرْتُ عَلَىٰ عَذَابِكَ. Even though Allah, if I were patient at the adab, at the punishment that I would face, I would be able to stand that. I'll be patient with that. فَكَيْفَ أَسْبِرُ عَلَىٰ فِرَاقِكَ. But how can I be patient towards being separated from you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Deep, deep, deep in love with their beloved. That is where you and I have to work towards. And that is not possible for us if we just coast along in life, not trying to wake ourselves up from the slumber. That slumber is also relative, like a lot of different concepts. Just like we talked about in the example of Nabi Yunus, he's one of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has his full attention of Allah. But even the slightest slip leaves room for remorse, leaves room for repentance, leaves room for tawbah, leaves room for coming back towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, "Inna Allah يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Anyone who's fallen off the path, come back to me. So the slumber is also something that's relative. The ghafla is also something that's relative. The moving away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also something that's relative. Alhamdulillah, all of you dear brothers and sisters are mu'mineen. You understand Allah. You have your focus on Allah. We're all trying to improve ourselves. But the day of judgment, as the Quran says, is Yawm al-Hasra. The way you and I should lead our lives is on the day of judgment, that hasra, that remorse of ours, is as little as possible. As little as possible. And these du'as and these munajats and the blessings of these holy months are something that can help us try to move in that direction, inshallah. Inshallah. Seeking refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a concept that's repeated in the Quran as well. Where yes, although it's Allah who is angry with me, but I have nowhere else to go. In Surah Tawbah, which is chapter 9, verse 118, the part of the verse says, لا ملجأ من الله إلا إليه, that there is no other place that you can go except towards Him. Except towards Him. There is nowhere else to go. That's the concept of Tawheed. Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam says that on the day of judgment, there will be a person who will be brought in front of Allah. And this person will accept that, oh Allah, I've transgressed, I've made mistakes, my carnal desires overcame me. I knew you had said something, I knew I was supposed to follow rules, but these carnal desires overcame me. And then when it's understood that this person needs to be punished or deserves punishment, then this person would say that, although I did all that, O Allah, but I didn't expect this from you. I didn't expect this from you. And it would be asked, what do you mean? What did you expect? And he would say, I expected the best of you. Meaning that I expected that even though I had all these shortcomings, because deep down, I still believed in you. I still related to you. That I would think, the way I thought of you, O Allah, was that on the Day of Judgment, you would forgive my shortcomings because of the way, because you're the All-Merciful, because you're the Rahman, because you're the Rahim, because you're the Ghafoor, because you're the Kareem, because you're the Ghaffar. That's how I thought of you. And Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, that he says that the person will be taken to heaven at that point. And what we understand from this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always, under every single circumstance, wants us to think nothing but good about Him. And the best that we can think about Him. Always have hope in Him. Always think the best of Him. Always be optimistic about Him. Never, ever be pessimistic about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how He will deal with us. Inshallah. Inshallah. And we've talked about the various verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly talks about the mercy that He has promised us. So at this point, what I would like to do is just go through some of the various lines of the munajat, just to be able to kind of give a glimpse and to everybody about different sort of concepts that have been talked about in this munajat. I really do hope and pray that everyone has benefited from these munajat in this holy month, reading it several times over and over, trying to think about it, trying to benefit from it, inshallah. And if not, we still have a few nights left of this holy month, and inshallah we can still benefit from it. In one place, Amir al-Mu'mineen says, وَإِن كَانَ قَدَّنَا أَجَلِي وَلَمْ يُدْنِنِي مِنْكَ عَمَلِي. Oh Allah, although time is going by, and every day that goes by, I'm taking a step closer towards my death. I'm coming closer towards the end of my time. وَلَمْ يُدْنِنِي or مِنْكَ عَمَلِي. But so the time is coming closer, but my actions, O Allah, are not bringing me closer to you. O my Lord, O Allah, they're not bringing me closer to you. Another wake-up call for you and I, that if that is the case that's happening with us, where the day is going by, that is something that we don't have control over. You don't have control over it. I don't have control over it. The day will pass us by. But am I benefiting from this blessing? That through my actions, I'm getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the time is ticking away and my time of death is approaching. But am I approaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during that time or not? So he continues, فَقَدْ جَعَلْتُ الْإِقْرَارَ بِالذَّنْبِ إِلَيْكَ وَسِيلَتِي. Therefore, under this conditions, my actions are not really helping me. I cannot use them as a means, as a wasila to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my iqrar bidhamb, me accepting my sins, me accepting my shortcomings, me accepting that I'm weak, I'm using that as a means, O Allah, to get closer to you, to get closer to you. That underlying theme of how an abd needs to understand, Ya ayyuhan nas, antumul fuqara'u ila Allah, wallahu huwa al-ghani al-hamid. That, O people, O nas, know that you are fuqara ila Allah. Everything you have is from Allah. You depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything. So this is the underlying theme that we need to understand to be able to understand these words. That coming back to Allah in a very humble way, with humility, with remorse, with begging Him. In another place he says, إِلَهِ اِعْتِذَارِ إِلَيْكَ اِعْتِذَارُ مَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَغْنِي أَنْ قَبُولِ عُذْرِهِ. O Allah, my repentance towards you, me coming back towards you, seeking forgiveness from you, is the seeking of someone who cannot afford that their forgiveness is not accepted, that their repentance is not accepted. I can't afford that, O Allah. I'm coming back to you and I'm seeking forgiveness. I'm repenting. But this is the repentance of a person who can't afford that their repentance is not accepted. فَقْبَلْ عُذْرِي. فَقْبَلْ عُذْرِي. Therefore, please accept my repentance, O Allah. I don't deserve it. But I have no other way to go. I can't afford it to be the case that you don't accept my repentance. Ya akrama man i'tadhara ilayhi al-musi'un. The most merciful, the most kareem of the ones. Oh, the most merciful who people, the sinners, seek forgiveness from. You are the most merciful of them. And I've come to you, O Allah. In another place, the Imam says, إِلَهِ مَا أَذُنُّكَ تَرُدُّنِي فِي حَاجَةٍ قَدْ أَفْنَيْتُ عُمَرِي فِي طَلَبِهَا مِنْكَ. O Allah, I don't think it can be the case. I don't think it can be the case that you reject my want, that I've spent my entire life asking for it. My entire life I've spent asking for that want. I won't accept that you wouldn't give me that. That you would reject my want that I've spent my entire life asking for. Now, an important point over here is for me to look into my life and see, am I really someone who can stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, فَقَدْ قَدْ أَفْنَيْتُ عُمَرِي فِي طَلَبِهَا مِنْكَ, that I've spent my entire life asking you for that want. Am I one of those people who can come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and honestly say that? That, oh Allah, I've spent my entire life begging you to put that love of yours in my heart, to put that love of your Prophet in my heart, to put that love of his Ahlul Bayt in my heart, to put so much love in my heart that this love pulls me towards you, that this love becomes a barrier between me and sins. Have I spent enough time asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this talab, for this want, that I can stand in front of him and say that I don't think you would reject a want that I've asked you my entire life? But have I actually asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala my entire life? أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ, or the one who answers the distressed if he calls out to him. Do I call out Allah in a distressed way? Am I truly distressed about my state and how far away I've drifted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is that distress there in my life? Is that distress there in my voice? Is that distress there in my actions? Because the verse is saying, if you're distressed and you come ask, I will take care, I'll relieve you of that. I'll relieve you of that. Have I given it enough importance to be able to feel distressed or not? In another place, our Mawla Amir al-Mu'mineen says, إِلَهِ هَبْلِي كَمَالِ الْإِنْقِطَاعِ إِلَيْكَ, oh Allah, bless me with that complete cutting off from everything else towards you. So I cut off, bless me with a state where I cut off from everything else and I come to you and you only. Bless me with that state of mind where La ilaha illallah becomes my anthem, becomes the way I live my life, as opposed to just some dhikr or some remembrance that I verbalize once in a while. Ilahi habli kamal al-inqita' ilayk, the best of the cutting off from everything else and coming to you, O Allah. Bless me with that. Bless me with that. Because if anyone is blessed with that, all of their issues will be figured out. As he continues, وَأَنِرْ أَبْسَارَ قُلُوبِنَا بِضِيَاءِ نَظَرِهَا إِلَيْكَ, وَلَا light the eyes of our heart, light up our hearts. Light up our hearts so they can move towards you. Hatta takhriqa absaru qulubi hujban nur, until any sort of barriers that are between you and I are taken care of, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last line that I would like to talk about over here, there's so many other places that are worthy of mentioning and talking about. Almost every line is, as we've seen in the few phrases that we've had the tawfiq of discussing in these sessions, every single line is worth so much time, that we it deserves so much contemplation and so much time. But this is inshallah the last one that I would like to talk about today or mention today. Ilahi إن حطتني الذنوب من مكارم لطفك فقد نبهني اليقين إلى كرم عطفك. O Allah, even though my sins even though my sins have separated me from you or have distanced me from you, even though my sins have done that, فَقَدْ نَبَّهَنِي الْيَقِينُ إِلَى كَرَمِ عَطْفِكَ, but my yaqeen, my certainty and hope in your karam, in your mercy, in you being kareem, meaning that someone who gives without even the other person deserving, my yaqeen in that, my certainty in that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allows me to keep moving along, allows me to keep coming back to you, allows me to keep coming back to you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inshallah bless us with the tawfiq to be able to understand these munajat and to be able to incorporate them in our lives. There are a few questions that we can inshallah go through. So the first question is, in terms of your first lecture, you mentioned three ways in which a dua is accepted. One of them was Allah delaying a request, and the other was Allah not wanting it for you. So either He's delaying it or He doesn't want it for you. So if it is something Allah does not want for you, how can you differentiate between not losing hope in that Allah has granted your request but is delaying it versus understanding that it wasn't something that Allah even wanted? If it isn't something that Allah wants, I shouldn't continue to request it. So over here, I think we might have briefly touched on it, but basically, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this sort of framework to work with, and there's all these different possibilities that the traditions mention, that it could be the case that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He loves the voice of the abd, of the slave, that He says, yes, we've signed off on this, but just hold it for a bit because I want to keep hearing this person's voice, this servant's voice. Right, so that's one thing where He signed off on it, but He just wants to delay it. Another possibility, as the question mentions, is it's something that's not in our benefit. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to put that difficulty in our life. And the answer is, how do we know which one it is? And therefore, if it's something that Allah doesn't want me to have, then I should stop doing that dua. Let me start with the last part where it says, I should stop doing that dua. There's no reason for a person to have to stop doing that dua, because the person does their responsibility and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does His responsibility. So a person, whatever he thinks or she thinks is best for them, they keep going back to Allah. They keep begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. So this begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is two-dimensional. One is because I want those things that I'm asking for. But the other aspect of dua is much more important, which is even the act of making the dua, of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gives me the ultimate purpose that I was created for. So every dua that I make, whether it's accepted or not accepted, whether it's in my favor or not in my favor, that's something that Allah needs to worry about. I don't need to worry about that. So I continue making the duas. Yes, although there's sometimes a person spends their entire life making a dua about, for example, a certain house, for example, a certain job, for example, becoming a millionaire, right? This is the dua that they've made their entire life. As opposed to a person makes a dua that, oh Allah, bless me with that love. Ilahi habli kamal al-inqita'i ilayk, as Amir al-Mu'mineen says in the Munajat, that their entire life, they keep praying that Allah bless me with that state where I cut off from everything and come to you. So even a person, when they're making the dua, the overall rule applies that you can keep making dua, you can keep repeating the dua. We don't need to play God. He needs to worry about what His responsibility is. He needs to worry about what He needs to which dua he needs to answer right away, which dua he needs to answer later, and so on and so forth. But for you and I, we keep begging him. But be true to ourselves that what is this dua? Is this dua something worth asking my entire life? Or is it the dua that after a while I can let go off of it? Depending on what I'm asking for. Depending on what I'm asking for. So that's one part of the question. Another part is, when reading the Quran, is it okay to take a verse that gives you hope out of the context that it is in that surah? For example, in Surah Anbiya, Ayah 37. And the question continues. So essentially, the answer is yes, because the Quran is every single verse is revealed in a certain context. Some of them might be talking about a historical event, for example. But then, so that historical event, yes, it happened. And that's it. That's the only historical event that happened, and that verse is talking about that and that only. However, very often in the verses of the Quran, there are principles that are mentioned. The principles that I mentioned. Let me give an example of the verse that we talked about yesterday, I believe, in the previous section. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالِ وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ. Right? That fighting in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that's written up, written for you, that's obligatory upon you. And it might be something that you don't like. Okay, so that specific thing is talking about one thing. Right? It's striving in the way of Allah. But the principle that comes after that, that which says that there might be many things that that you don't like, but they're actually good for you. There might be things that you love, but are actually bad for you. And you don't know, but Allah knows. So that principle, yes, you can take that and you can apply it across the board. You can apply across the board. So essentially, yes, you can take those lessons from the Quran, those inspirations from the Quran, which are even, as the question puts it, out of context. Where in reality, it might not be out of context because it's a more general principle. Or let me give you another example. There's some verses that talk about the kuffar. There's a verse, for example, that talks about that the kuffar on the Day of Judgment, that the amal of the kuffar, that the actions of the kuffar on the Day of Judgment, it will be like a mirage. They would think that they've acted, but as soon as they get close to it, so there's an analogy between the actions and a mirage. So as soon as the person gets close to the mirage, they realize there is no water there. There is no water there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws an analogy between their action, the action of the kuffar, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, and this mirage, and says that they might have done all these actions, but when they get there on the Day of Judgment, they won't see anything there. لَا تَجِدُ شَيْئًا, if I remember that correctly. Right? They don't see any of their actions over there. So this kufr, this rejection of Allah, is also something that, okay, it's the context might be talking about a specific group where it was revealed for. But the general principle applies to everyone. Not only does it apply to kuffar today, but it applies to Muslims today as well. Where this kufr is something that is that can be seen as a concept that it has a spectrum of kufr. So yes, the one extent and the limit of the kufr might be someone who's rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even someone, the other end of the spectrum, where someone's a mu'min, but even a few moments of taking their attention away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and slipping, therefore rejecting in a way, in an indirect way, that Allah told me not to look at an al-mahram, but I reject that and I will look at an al-mahram. Over here, to that extent, to that small extent, this person is also a kafir in a sense of the word. So yes, that can also be understood in that context, where it was revealed in a certain specific context, but we understand it or take inspiration in another way. Another question over here is, What are some of the steps that I should be concentrating on in practically being able to achieve the steps that or go through or reach the levels that you have talked about? I think one of the most essential first step that everyone, no matter what level they're at, applies to me, applies to everyone else as well. One of the most essential steps is for us to try to get used to thinking a little more. Try to get used to, as we call them, the basic building blocks. Try to start putting them together. Try to start reaching a conclusion. Let me give you one small example, and then we'll stop over there. Every day that I pray, and then I say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is an example that I think we mentioned, and maybe the question is coming from that session. إِيَّكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Every single day, 10 times a day, I'm telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is only you who I worship. It is only you who I worship. It is only and only you who I worship, O Allah. Have I ever thought about that, what I'm saying? I'm standing in front of this Lord that we've talked about, that Amir al-Mu'min describes in these munajat. The Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of the worlds, Maliki Yawmiddin, he's the Malik of the Day of Judgment. I'm standing in front of him and I'm with a straight face, إِيَّكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Without any shame, I keep telling him that only you who I worship, only you who I worship. Whereas in reality, what are the norms? What are the standards that rule my life? Is it my carnal desires? Is it the norms of society? Is it the norms of my family? Is it the norms of my culture? Or is it truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His deen that I worship and I follow? So just small things like that, if we can make a habit out of thinking a little more about these little things, then inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that if we take one step towards Him, He will take 10 towards us. If we start walking towards Him, He will run towards us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of this holy month, for the sake of the holy month coming up, may He forgive us our sins, all of our sins, the sins of our parents, the sins of our family. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with the tawfiq to be able to understand these munajat, to be able to incorporate these munajats in our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this holy month, give us the tawfiq to be able to get closer to the Qur'an, be able to recite, not only recite the Qur'an, be able to understand the Qur'an, be able to contemplate the Qur'an, be able to incorporate that into our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of this holy month coming up, on this Laylatul Qadr coming up, bless us with the reappearance of our holy Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us amongst His sincerest followers. I would like to thank all the organizations, all the people who've been behind this effort, especially the Basirat Productions and Studios, whose logo is not on the poster, but they've been an invaluable part of this effort. May Allah inshallah bless them and bless all the brothers and sisters who've made this effort possible. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all and increase in our tawfiqat. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.